All right, now, we're going to say goodbye to David today. It's been a long time coming. Could have been a lot longer. I was talking to another preacher here a while back, and he's talking about preaching through a book or a subject or something, and how you can go through it and take a long time. He said he took three years, I think. Anyway, whatever he said, I don't know. I preached through Genesis 3 years. But he said some of them got tired of it, but he said I could have went back. He said I told him I could have went back and started over, never preached the same sermon again, and went through it again. Yeah. And it's true. Mm-hmm. That the life of David is that way. He gave us so much to learn from. But let's hurry. Let's get to 1 Kings chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. David's going to show us how to die well. Now, he showed us how to live. He showed us how to trust God. He showed us how to be humble and not exalt yourself. And now he's going to show us how to die. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. There's a point in your life when you realize that. It just dawns on you one day, like so many other things through life, that I'm about done. You know, I'm going to die soon. He said, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. I've heard that before. Yep. Some other patriarchs said the same thing to their sons. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Right now, David didn't just say this because that's what he's supposed to say. He's supposed to talk about God when you're dying. No, when it all comes down to the final draw, this is all that matters. All the rest of everything in life doesn't matter. When you've lived a long, full life, he's full of days and of a good old age, and this is what he has refined it all down to, the meaning of life and what's important and what you ought to do. Coming right along behind me. Take heed. Listen to dying words of people that are godly. The lost have nothing to say, really, as they're dying. If they've lived without God all their life and they're dying, they haven't learned a thing. They haven't learned a thing. So this is one of the multiple times here that David charges Solomon concerning what he was to do after David's death. This is not the only time that David charged Solomon. He had done it before, and he done it during this year or so after Solomon took the throne. And then he did it again at the very end. His charge is all about fulfilling the purpose of God. David handed to Solomon something. He didn't just say, son, you're on your own now. Son, you're going to have to find your own truth now. Do the best you can. I wish you well, and I'm praying for you. That's not what David did to Solomon. No, sir. That's not what he left him with. Y'all listening now? It's mighty important. David handed to Solomon a legacy and an inheritance with a plan. He told him exactly what to do. Provided everything for him. Solomon wasn't left to himself to find his own way and his own truth and his own convictions. David told him exactly what he needed to do to be successful and happy in life. David also, not only that, David supplied all that was needed for Solomon to be the king and to do the work. David had it all laid out. Plans. Written plans. Going to talk about that in a minute. But I mean, David had it all laid out for him. He didn't just leave Solomon to find his own way. At the end of David's life, we can see what mattered to him more than all of his gold and all of his silver and whatever other passions he had had in his life. All that mattered now is God and His promises and His purpose. That was all he cared about. And that's all he talked about in this whole time when he's about to die. All he had to say to Solomon, all he had to say to the people, all he had to say to everybody, that's all it was about. Keep God's commandments. Live for God. Do what's right in God's sight. Fulfill these promises and plans that God has given to me for you. See, we're living in a day when people reject that. They don't think the parents ought to have anything to say about the children's life. This is their life. They can live it how they want to. That's not how it is. That's ungodliness. That's worldliness. That's the way of the sinner, the transgressor. It's not the way of God. Now, what God had done in David's life, he wanted to continue in Solomon's life and in the lives of his people. Now, why did David want that? Because God wanted that. This is God's people, God's chosen people. This is a long thing. This started back with Abraham that you talked about a while ago when God called him out of the land of Ur, the Chaldees, and said, go into a land that I will show thee. And that's when this started. God chose Abraham. And he chose Israel to be his people. That's who we're talking about here. David is the king of Israel. So this thing can't just drop here. You are part of all of it, Solomon. You're the one of my sons. And he said later, God had given me many sons, but you're the one that God has chosen to carry on. Yes. It's all on you. You are responsible. This is your life. This is what it's about. This is why you're on this earth. Now do it. And he says that over and over. Now do it. Amen. So David's life was an open book, and all the world knew of his worst failings and sins and problems. He'd been treated very unjustly for a big part of his life, unfairly. He got a bad shake. He got treated real bad. First part of his life, he'd been tempted and deceived and had committed the worst of sins, and everybody knew it. And through it all, he had walked with God. And at the end of his life, he had never charged God foolishly or sinned against him with his lips like Job, just like Job said he didn't do. I mean, he did that other stuff. Yes, he did. He did things that were wrong, but he never did that. And so when he got to the end, God was God. And he went out of this world kind of like Elijah on a fiery chariot. He left in glory and honor. Full of honor, it says. That's the way you want to go out. There's things that happen in our life that we have to go on from. I got to stay here. Now, I got to stick with it or I won't get done. His testimony to Solomon is that life is all about God. And that every bad thing that ever happened to him was his own fault. Or it was sent from God to help him in some way. Now that's the attitude that a truly godly person will have in his heart. He won't have to work that up. I mean, that's just the way he'll believe that. That every bad thing that happened to me was my fault. Or God sent it my way to make me into what he wanted me to be. And you'll praise God for the bad and the good. And when you get to the end, you'll thank God for everything that happened to you in your life. Because you can see at the end that it all mattered. And at the end, you're going to be able to see that all things work together for good to them that love God. So he also gave Solomon charge concerning the people who had caused the most trouble in his life. Now, I don't want to take too much time here because this is not really what I want to focus on this morning, but let's read it. It's starting verse 5, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 5. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me And what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, and unto Abner, the son of Ner, and unto Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. He had Amasa's blood in his shoes. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. That means gray. That's not what we were talking about the other night. But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. Not Barzillai, because he's probably dead by now, but his family. Show kindness to his family. Remember him, because he was kind to me. And I may not have paid him back as much as I should have. David's setting some things in order here that he feels like maybe he didn't get completely right in his life. Let them be of those that sit at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. Now don't get the idea that David has been angry and holding a grudge all this time about these guys, and that he's just wanting Solomon to take care of him for him. That he in his last breath is taking vengeance. That's not the case at all. He's looking out for Solomon. David is simply warning Solomon that he's going to have trouble with these people. They ain't never straightened out. They are just like that. Shimei is just the same man as he was the day he cursed me. Joab's the same man he's been all along. And you need to deal with them. You better keep your eye open. And you're wise enough, even though he said he was a child and he was young and tender, David said about Solomon. He knows that Solomon has enough good sense to deal with these. And so that's what he's warning him. He's warning him not to put up with it, because he, David, had been merciful with them for a lifetime, and they hadn't proven themselves to be anything different than they were. He trusted them to Solomon's wisdom. And he also freed Solomon from feeling obligated to keep doing for them as David had done. You don't have to keep my vows about this matter. You watch them. And that's exactly what he did. Did Solomon go kill him right then?
No.
He gave them all an opportunity to do right. Did they do right? No, they didn't. He tested them. You know, it's like we said here the other day, you know, every man deserves a second chance, but watch him. And that's what David said about these men to Solomon. So it's clear in the rest of this chapter that David gave him sound advice, because Adonijah's rebellion was not over. And he got Abiathar too. And that him and Joab were still working with Adonijah to take the throne away from Solomon by crafting another plan. You know, Adonijah came to Bathsheba and told her to go ask Solomon for this young woman that had been ministering to David. And we know what that was all about, but see, Joab knew about it. And so did Abiathar. If you read the scripture closely, you can see that. And so Solomon got them all. He didn't kill Abiathar. He said, because you've been afflicted with everything my father was for so long, I'll not put you to death at this time, but you get to the field and get to work. You're not a priest anymore. The other two ran to the altar and grabbed the horns of the altar. And Joab said he wouldn't leave, and David said, kill him there. Or Solomon said, kill him right there then. That's what he wants, and so they did. So David made Solomon king, and then he set all in order for the building of the house of God. David had said, we talked about last week, he said, this day, he'll take care of this matter this day. Put Solomon on the throne in his stead today. We're going to do it today. So he did. I mean, it was a rush, fast deal. No public deal, no big celebration or anything, but it was done. And Solomon was put on David's throne. And so then David wasn't dead. He was old and feeble and weak and tired. but he wasn't dead. And so, if we didn't turn to another book in the Bible, we wouldn't get the rest of the story, and we would have missed how David died so gloriously. I always remember that. You compare Scripture with Scripture. Look somewhere else and see if you can find some more information about this. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10, this is all we get right here. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And so that's all it says about David's death in 1 Kings. So we would think that David gave this short charge to Solomon and then just laid down and died and that was it. But that was far from the case. Now I want y'all to listen to me. I'm going to hurry. I was studying last night and this morning about this, and I was overwhelmed because it's so much. And I can't, you know, to get it all crammed into one message is going to be very hard. I'm going to read a lot of Scripture and let the Bible do the talking. But David had prepared for the house of God to be built, and he laid everything out in order after he made Solomon king. Get that? He made Solomon king. He had been preparing for a long time, but now he lays it all out. In his last days, he's gave the throne to Solomon, but he's preparing Solomon and the people, and he lays out everything for what they're to do. Now, with all his might, he did all he could to make sure everything was in place for Solomon to build the house of God that he had wanted to do for so long. David had a vision from God that reached far past his own life on this earth. Very few people have that. Very few people even have enough vision to see to their death, let alone past it. You know, they don't make any goals. They don't work at anything to try to keep speaking after they're dead. David did. David was an important man. I've stressed it all the way through about David. I don't think we got it though yet. What an important piece of this whole puzzle he was. You got to understand him. And you got to understand his place. And where God put him in this whole thing, this story that began way back there and came all the way through. It started in Eden, but it started before Eden, and it started with Abraham, but it started before Abraham, and it went with Moses and all the rest of them all the way through. And you got to understand how important David was in this whole thing. So David had a vision from God. From God. He wasn't a, what do you call these people that are stuck on themselves? A narcissist. He wasn't stuck on himself. He didn't think himself some great one. He just realized what God had done with him and where God had put him and the responsibility that God had put on him and the grace that God had shown him and the mercy and the forgiveness. And he knew God and he walked with God. And so when he come to the end of this thing, he has a good view of this whole deal. And he's the king and he's in a place and in a position where he can express it to these people, his people, God's people, and to his son who's in charge of carrying it on, the importance of it. These are the glory days of Israel. This here, I mean, of all the things that have happened through the years, and David's death is a glorious thing. You'll see when we read these verses. But then when Solomon hit the first part of his reign, and then when they dedicated the temple, that was the high mark. God was exalted and worshiped by the people. Truth was everywhere. And judgment. And it was a wonderful time. So in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, chapters 22 through 29, you can just stay there. You can just read that and read it, and you can just go back and forth and compare, and it's just, well, I did that last night. We read of David and how he set all the priests and the singers. It goes through a long description of names and everything, telling He set every detail in order. The Levites, the singers, the priests, everybody that had any job, he gave them their assignment. He wrote it down so that they would know where they belonged and what they were supposed to do and when they were supposed to do it. He set it all in order. And he, with rulers and laborers and all the material, he set it in order for the house of God. And then he charged Solomon with the building of the house of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnifical, of fame and glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Verse 11 through 13 in chapter 22, 1 Chronicles. Now my son, he's talking to Solomon, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Don't get it from anybody else. Only from God. Get the wisdom and understand, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. David's talking to Solomon. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be distressed. Distrust in God. God will take care of you. God told me that you are going to do this. Yep. Trust in God. 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 14 through 16. Now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord, and listen, 100,000 talents of gold. Now if I understand right, a talent is about 125 pounds. 100,000 talents of gold. That's a bunch. That ain't all. And 1,000,000 talents of silver. How many is 1,000,000s? That's 1,000,000 talents of silver. This is for the house of God. Spare no expense. It must be exceeding magnificent. He meant what he said. And he put his money where his mouth was, so to speak. And of brass and iron without weight. They didn't even count. It's just so much they don't even know how much. For it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, that thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work, of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron. There is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Be doing. Yep. You got everything you need. There's nothing lacking. And then listen to this. We also read how David handed to Solomon in the sight of all the people the plans for the building of the house of God. The blueprints, if you will. And also for the order of the priests and the services. David had it all figured out. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 11 through 13. Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things, also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of God, and for all the vessels of the service of the house of the Lord. You understand that he had plans for all of those things written down. And he handed them to Solomon and said, there you go. Here's your book. This is how you do it. Ain't no mistaking. Ain't nobody's opinion. And you know where he got that? 1 Chronicles 28:19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me. Even all the works of this pattern. He said, I got this from God, Solomon. This, God gave me this. Now take it and go get started. We read, that's just something, ain't it? David prepared with all of his might. And he was talking to God. He got it from God. This ain't something that's David's just a... This is not David's big monument to himself. It's the house of God. It's never about David, other than David is the one God chose to be the king of Israel forever. All right. Let me find my place. We read about how he told the people that he had given much of his own gold and silver for the building of the house, and how he charged the people to give. And they started giving willingly until there was way more than they needed. I mean, get the picture here. All the people are gathered together. First Chronicles 29, verses 1 through 9. Are you listening? This is the chapter. This is the final chapter. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, all the people. He's talking to all the people. Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, and onyx stones, and stones to be set, and glistening stones that have of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold. This come out of David's pocket. The gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver. I mean, he gave the best gold he had, the best silver he had, and a lot of it. And he gave it to underlay the walls of the houses, overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. Now listen. And he said to the people, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? They say altar call started just lately. No. David said, now who of you are willing to give and consecrate yourself to the service of God? Right. How many of you are going to give yourself to God today? Yeah. The old man is saying to him, see. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. Who came first? The leaders. All the chief men, the men of importance, the men that had the money and everything, they stepped right up and they gave willingly. David didn't have to beg. He didn't have to say another word. He just said, who's willing? And they started doing it. And gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. See, somebody told me a long time ago, and it's true, I realize it's true, there's a lot more money in people's pockets than you think there is. Nobody that day said, well, I didn't come prepared. No. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. And then you want to know what they did? I've been in church when we've done this. Had a big offering, a sacrificial offering, a free will offering where everybody gave of their... You know, at the church in Virginia, the camp meeting every year, we never took up offerings during the camp meeting, really. I mean, they might take up one at night or something now and then, but it was never a big deal. It was just, if it happened, it was just in passing. That wasn't the focus, because everybody in the church gave before the meeting. The meeting was funded before the meeting ever started. And it was something that went on all year, and everybody knew, everybody was prepared, and they thought all year and prayed about it and saved for it. And, you know, a lot of the members of the church would give $2,000 or more just then. And so it just didn't, the preacher get up on a Sunday morning, you know, a week or so before the camp meeting, and say, all right, we got to have the camp meeting offering, so let's get started here. You know, we always had a good service after that. Here's what these people did. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. See, the last days are a lot better for him, aren't they? He's getting to rejoice with great joy because of the people given freely to God, willing to say yes to God, to follow on with what He's taught them and the example that He's lived before them all these years. So we read David's charge to the people. He charged Solomon. He also charges the people. Listen to this. 1 Chronicles, I do it every time. 1 Chronicles 28, verses 1 through 8. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies, and that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over thousands, and the captain over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet. Well, now he was in the bed and couldn't get even warm here, but he's got enough strength to stand on his feet before all the people. Can you imagine how quiet it was? I doubt that his voice was strong and carrying. Might have been. I don't know. That's just me. But I'm just thinking he's old and weak and feeble and cold all the time. He stood up and said, is everybody going to listen to what he says? Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord for over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. If he'd just stay like he is. But he didn't. Anyway, now therefore, in the sight of all Israel and the congregation of the Lord and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. So there's his charge to the people. What is it? Right in the audience of God and all these people, keep God's commandments. Seek to know and seek to do and keep them. Chapter 22, verse 17 through 19. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon and his son, saying, Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. See, David, that was one of David's life's work. Life works. He did that. He subdued all the enemies. Solomon had got to take the throne in peace. The Philistines ain't hounding them. They ain't being attacked. David has vanquished them. Now set your hand and your soul. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. So what's on his mind? The house of God. And that this people and his son keep the commandments of God and live for God. You're talking about fear in Sunday school, Seth. I was sitting there thinking, what am I afraid of? Well, I couldn't think of anything that I'm afraid of. I ain't afraid of nothing. Except one thing. Same thing David feared. That they would turn, that his children, his people, would turn away from God and lose their way and be lost. We read David's charge to Solomon again here in chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. He said, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." That's different verbiage than people use nowadays, isn't it? Give your heart to Jesus. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. All this. "Know the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." Sure sounds different than what people are telling their kids nowadays in Baptist churches. They're telling them you can't do this. Instead of telling them to do it and charging them to do it, they're telling them, "Son, you can't never make it. Now just face the fact you're a sinner and you're never going to be no good. You're never going to be able to have any victory. Just hang on the best you can. And know that you're going to go to heaven when you die." Yep. That ain't how Solomon was charged. No, sir. "Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Yes. Yeah. Again, that's awful different advice than what people are giving their kids nowadays. "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." There's just something about an old man that's strong. David's proven himself. He doesn't have anything to prove right now. His life speaks for him. He's always been strong. He's always prevailed. Now he's telling his son, "Be strong and do it. Do it, Solomon. There's no way that I can express what I feel and know." David's an old man, weathered, seasoned. He knows and he understands life now. He understands sin and righteousness and God and what it's all about. And he's looking at a young and tender boy who's stepping into his shoes. I just wish I could somehow express what David really feels in his heart. How David is having to just cast his care upon God and trust God more than he ever has had before, because he's looking at him and saying, "He can't do this. The work is great, he said a while ago. And it's mighty important. And there is too much for him to do. Help him, he says to the people, help him. He can't do it by himself. This is a hard thing David's having to do here. And the only way that he can do this is by just turning to God, and more than he ever really has had to in the past. Killing the giant was easy compared to this. Everything is at stake here. You understand? Not just David. I mean all of Israel. All of God's plan from beginning to end. That's what the issue, the matter is all about here. And he's handing it over to this young and tender child. No matter what stage of life you're in, you know. I'm sure, Seth, you look at your kids and you think the same thing right now. You hope. You've done your best to teach them. And you got some confidence, but still you think, I just don't know if I can do it or not. Like when you're teaching them to drive. I just sang the other day. You know, what a time it was teaching when these girls, Daniel, oh my goodness, teaching him how to drive. Merciful heavens to Betsy. But then the other day, while Elizabeth gets in the car by herself and drives off 3 hours or so away, and do I not worry? Oh yes, it bothers me. But I think back of what it would have been like when she was 16 years old. Seth drove away when he was 18, I think, to go to Virginia in that little white truck. Well, I remember, you know, it's just... I remember this. It was the same thing. I mean, I thought, dear Lord, you got to protect him or else there's no hope. And it's just got to happen.
That's right.
We were talking this morning about, or maybe last night, but we were talking about Felicity walking, you know. What a miracle. I said, you know, it's just a miracle how that happens. They just, for so long, they're just a round little old lump of stuff and they can't walk. They can't. And you keep watching them and then they learn to roll over and then they learn to scoot around. And then the first thing you know, they're crawling and then they're standing up and then they're walking and then they're running. And she said, and then they leave. You got to grow up as your children do too.
Yes, absolutely.
David ain't been looking forward to this day. Not this part of it. But at the same time, he's very encouraged by the people. And by Solomon, who's willing and who's ready and who has a right attitude, because after he became king, you remember now, we're jumping ahead here of what's going on, but Solomon had the dream, you know, and God offered him all the riches, or he could have whatever he wanted. He asked for wisdom because he said, I'm a child, and I got to lead this great people. Somehow David got through to him.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, let me hurry here. We read as David worships God before all the people and prays for his people. And he calls them to worship God. In chapter 29, verses 10 through 28 here, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. You see this? Before all the congregation, David is worshiping God. And said, blessed be thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. That's what worship is. It's not running around and it's not high emotions and shouting and carrying on. So it's just what David said there is just, it's with words like tears are with emotions. You know, it's just words that just say what you just can't really, you know, you're saying as best you can what you're feeling. And it's very inadequate. Blessed be thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. See, David is the king. He's in high honor right now, but he's given all the glory to God. It all belongs to him. And thou reignest over all, and in thy hand power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. See, he's acknowledging God is everything. He is nothing. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers. He's given God all of the glory. No bragging, no boasting, no pride in nothing that's going on here. This is God's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand. And it is all, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. And as for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people. He's praying for the people. And prepare their heart unto thee. And then here's the heartbreaking prayer of David. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart. I reckon Solomon remembered that. I reckon those words rang in his ears later on. To keep thy commandments and thy testimonies and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. He worshiped God, and he said, now you worship God. So they did. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the king. Now, what do you think that sounded like? You think it sounded like a Pentecostal meeting? No, sir. It didn't sound nothing like that. I think I know what it sounded like. I think probably if you could have picked any sound out, you'd have heard the sound of weeping. And people saying, bless God. Bless God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's real worship. That's how it happens. And they sacrifice sacrifices unto the Lord and offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the morrow after that day. Even 1,000 bullocks and 1,000 rams and 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. That wasn't the only time David sent all the people away full of joy and gladness. He was good at that.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Now they made Solomon king again the second time, and anointed him again in the sight of all these people as a public confirmation of the fact that God had chosen him. Look in the down, it says, and they made Solomon the son of David the son of David, king the second time, and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be priest, and then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the princes and all the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Thus, and here's the statement, thus David the son of Jesse reigned over Israel. Solomon's sitting on the throne. But who's reigning? Yeah. Thus reigned David over all Israel, the son of Jesse. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years, 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. So, that's not all. Hang on to this a second. So we read how David died in a good old age and full of honor. He died shortly after this. He'd finished his course. He got it all done. He'd kept the faith. He was now ready to be offered. Then in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 28... it says there, and he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 5, now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, don't you want to hear what he says? Last words. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock, capital R, of Israel, spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear evening after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he maketh it not to grow. Y'all understand that? Acts 13, verse 36, for David, after that he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Now, we ought to pray for wisdom to die like a righteous man. How you want to die? Huh?
Yeah.
Full of honor? Full of what David was full of here. Here's a verse. Now, I'm taking it out of context. And I'm going to tell you who said it. And it's going to kind of take away from it when you know who said it. But it's truth. It is truth. Balaam, the prophet, said this. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. That's true. You ought to pray that prayer. Psalm 37, verse 37. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Proverbs 14, verse 32, and the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Did David die in hope? Oh, yes. One more verse. Common verse, we all have heard it a lot. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, that's how David ended his journey. Showed us how to die. I think he did. Life ought to mean something. Shouldn't be wasted in vanity. Shouldn't just live and spend your days making money, eating, drinking, working, sleeping, buying, selling, gaining, hoarding, losing. That's not what life's about. I try to get you to see often, raise up your heads and get up above everything and get a bigger view of this whole thing, life and what it's about. God and what he's doing and your place in it, see? David had a much more important place than any of us do. I know that. But I think we've all got a much more important place than we think. There's so much depends on us. So much more depends upon us and our circle and how far we reach out with our influence through our children and our family and our church and whatever. I think there's much more to it than we... I think it's way bigger than we think it is. And so we ought to take the lesson from David. He's the king of Israel. We're not a king of anything, but we are, really. We've got our own little domain and our own little circle that we influence. And we ought to be thinking about it long before the time arrives. Prepare. David prepared for this for a long time. Not just to build the house of God. He was preparing for his exit. I've seen a few people do that. Made a big difference. Don't let death just catch you unawares and just fade away, slip away. I'd rather go out like Elijah. I'd rather go out like David. I'm glad God put it in his book so we can know what it was like when David departed this old world. His body died, but David didn't die. You know, he slept with his fathers, but David's influence, David's voice, David's presence really was always there. Yes. Open your Bible to the first book of the New Testament, you don't read two verses till there's David. You can't follow Jesus around anywhere until you hear him saying, "Thou son of David." Yes. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for all the richness that it's been for me. I pray somebody else benefited also, but it's been wonderful for me to study about David. Pray you not let these things fall that we've learned, but that, Lord, we'd apply them and that they'd make us better prepared for the day when we come to this point and when we stand before thee. Help us, Lord, to really prepare for death and for eternity and not just trying to fix it up so we got a pie in the sky kind of religion. Lord, help it to make a real difference right here, right now in our lives. Pray you bless it to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen.